Our topic is the disciple in relationship to his mate, mate relationship to his husband, to her husband or wife. And I want to use as a first part of this a verse, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus increased in four basic categories in which we develop. Wisdom. It could be intellect. Stature, that'd be physical. God would be spiritual. And man would be social. And in helping our mate, in meeting the needs of our mate, in relating, no one person can completely meet the needs of another person. God has to meet their needs. But often we're used of God because we're his instruments. We have hands and feet and tongue and minds with which to serve. And then a human being is a person first, and then a husband or wife or some other role second. And his roles might change. For instance, our wives now, to we fellas, was once a little girl, little baby, and then a little girl, and then a lovely young lady, and perhaps a college student, and perhaps a career woman. And then our wives, and she could be a single woman again, a widow, and she could have other functions before the entire cruise is over if she lives to be 75 or 85 or 90 years old. But while we are together, of course, we want to help everybody in every one of their relationships. And so right now, being married, while we want to help our wives or husbands, or the principle can be used as we work with single people as well. Because the principles of helping people are the same in wisdom and stature and faith with God and man, regardless of whether we're married or not. Wisdom, our intellect. Dr. Sanders, one of our Bible teachers from New Zealand, who'll be with us, by the way, before the year's out over here in America, he states that 80% of our lives is lived in our mind and our thoughts. 80% of our lives. What we think about. See, so much of our time before the boob tube is in our minds. In fact, very little activity at all, you know. And then when we're by ourselves, we live our lives in our minds. So our minds are very important. And we should cultivate the mind at all times. This is the reason why we in the NAVS put so much emphasis on the Bible and memorizing Scripture, because it's to control the thought pattern, what we think about. And as we are married and as we're working with people and building disciples, of course, we want to have a well-rounded activity. And fathers would be wise to give their girls well-rounded educations. Although the girls, in all probability, would be wives and mothers later on, but they need a well-rounded, basic education. Helen and I were put off considerably when we were in New Zealand, because sometimes we'd be working with people, and oftentimes the thought pattern in the fathers would prevail even yet. Well, she knows enough to milk cows and raise kids, you know. She'd be a wife of some dairy farmer. That was the idea. Well, isn't it what a tragedy and how demoralizing to tell a young, lovely young lady, young girl, you know, honey, you're smart enough to milk cows and raise kids, you know. And so the ideal that was put forth wasn't sufficient. But we as dads can build into our children's lives, our girls' lives, and our fellows' lives, well-rounded. Basic education is a foundation in which to build. And Helen and I have worked with each other since we've been married on continually building up the mind, where each of us are reading one or two books at all times. And we work with each other. It's a struggle, but we work with each other. We're not struggling working with each other. But in working with each other, it's a struggle to have time to read and to study. So we try to protect one another's times in reading and study and time alone. And realizing, of course, that you can't do everything all the time. And people have to realize that. See, the big shock of young girls getting married primarily is the use of time. They went their own way and they were on their own boss, and Now they get married and all that, and then they perhaps continue with their job or with their employment for a while in setting up a apartment or a flat or a house, and in a year or two they have a baby, and it just, it's quite a trauma, quite a turmoil in shifting all that fast. And they want the good of being a girl and the good of being a woman all to come together, and you can't do that overnight. It takes 2 or 3 weeks to do that, you know. And life is in seasons. Spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And if you don't get that straight, you won't make it. Or you'll make it through, but you won't make it happily. You see? In the spring of life, we build, we hit it hard. I have reared my son, my daughter, this way. They're, boys and girls are different. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they are. And they're not different just boys and girls, one being male and female, but they're just different because they're different. But my father reared me that in my, up until I was about 21, I just didn't have all that many days off. It was pretty much scheduled. And so I have reared my son, and with young men, I try to help them with a real tough schedule. The world and telly, they say, relax. That word, relax. Relax, 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 relax. Relax, and you're going to go hungry. Relax, and you're going to do without. Somebody's going to go right by you. You're going to be relaxing under some shade tree, you see. But there is time to relax, but not in those early days. So the spring of life, we hit it hard in cultivating and planting. Get that crop in. If you don't get it in by a certain time, you won't make a crop that year. Because winter time's coming, dry time's coming, autumn's coming, and it just, you just won't make a crop. Then you get into the summer of life when you cultivate, and you can still plant a little bit. But if, and then you get into the autumn of life, and then you begin your harvest. Not many crops grow well in winter. And you have to keep that in mind in regard to helping your mate and talking to each other. You see, we have young couples now. We're trying to get settled in Oklahoma City. And they're both college graduates and career people and 25. And, you know, they want to get their freezer and buy their meat by the half carcass. And they want to get their house and their payment and 2 cars. And they want to get them between now and December. Well, unless their papas have oil wells that are producing, I don't think they're going to make it, you see, you know. And so you have to talk to people to be sure that they get things in the proper perspective. And wisdom, the increase in wisdom, you have to get that in proper perspective. And you have to do some thinking. And then, of course, the physical. The proper rest, the proper eating, the proper diet. Helen and I have found that disciplined hours of sleep and rest and eating and exercise go back to the intellect and the mindset. Basic pattern of eating, basic pattern of studying nutrition. You know, you just pick up this white bread all the time, you know, and McDonald's. You just, you know, the mooing herd. Let me interrupt my message here and give you a verse. Matthew 7, starting with 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The mooing herd is going down the path of destruction in every way you slice it. Even our country. Our first centennial, we had so much gold and in the vaults, we were wondering what to buy in 1876. 1976, we were humpteen billion in debt. You see? Now then, what are we? Around a trillion or something like that. And the whole thought pattern, you know? We said, well, the bubble won't burst. It will burst. It really will. You can't go in debt forever. You see? Well, the mooing herd is going down the wrong way. And a lot of times what's wrong with people is their diet. They eat wrong. And they exercise wrong. And there's no one around to help them. And oftentimes you think, well, a large person, a person that looks obviously overweight, well, they're overweight, or they eat too much, or they eat wrong. No, some thin people. See, it's a good idea to put some emphasis on how you eat and when you eat, and to study that. Exercise. Some basic form of exercise to keep that old heart moving. And you don't really exercise until you can use your legs. That's the reason people who, like Leroy Imes, has shrapnel in his knees, he has a rough time with his exercise program because he can't jog. You can lift weights, and that gives you some exercise, but it doesn't really put your heart until you can use your larger limbs, you see. An exercise program. This all helps in your spiritual life and your intellectual life and your social life as well. If one is on top physically and weight and exercise and stuff, he feels better. And his clothes fit better. He doesn't have to make excuses for himself, and his mind is off of himself, and he is a more complete person, more complete man, a more complete woman. You think, John, you're a bricklayer like you. You're meddling a little, aren't you? I may be, you know. But these things make a difference in life. Little things do make a difference, if this is little, you see. And this is the way you help. You help people. And you help your wife, and you help your husband, and you help your children. But the key is a change in mindset. I'm not dancing up here. I'm trying to get out of this. Why? Looked like a little jig I was doing, didn't it? No music. Don't fuss and nag. If you want to help somebody, help them. Talk to them and say, may I talk to you? Or could we make an appointment? Hon, I want to talk to you about something. Fine. You know? And talk to them. But don't nag. Don't bring it up. By the way, in building disciples and checking them on their verses, I make a religious point of never to check a person on their verses except in a predetermined appointment. I don't just ask, Rudy, give me your latest verse. Well, his latest verse may be one he's just memorizing. What I really might want to find would be to bless. Give me your life verse, or give me a verse you've been meditating on. See, but I used to. Ooh, did I ever? Man, you'd be afraid to see me coming because I'd ask you for your verses, boy. But people don't like that because it embarrasses them, makes them feel bad. And the objective is not to make people feel bad. The objective is to help folks. And help them know the Bible. Help them with their health program. Help them with their reading program and their intellect program. You want to help people. Help people where they need help, not where you think they need help. You may know where they need help, but they may not know it, so you got to get them to that particular point. Meeting the needs of your mate. Spiritual. It takes time to be spiritual. 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Bodily fitness has a certain value, but spiritual fitness is essential, both for this present life and for the life to come. Again, that's 1 Timothy 4:7-8. Protect each other's time and energy to maintain discipline and time with God. Helen and I work with each other so that we can maintain time where she can have time to keep herself spiritually fit. She maintains time. And she guards my time. She sets me off in a room and she says, now you have this conference coming up and you have these messages to prepare. Now you will begin to study when I close the door. And there's a bathroom in the room and you will come out when I open the door. See? Yeah. You don't think I run the things at my house, do you? Well, I do. I'm like the old boy says, if you don't believe I wear the pants in this family, he says, you just look under my apron. the one where the old boy said, I'm master of this house, and this house is going to be run like I say. And I'm not going to get out from under this bed till I get good and ready. And of course, there's the old boy that was giving a younger fellow who's just going to get married, and he's going to give some advice. He said, now, when you get married, he said, put your foot down, boy. You know, man, you put down first date. You know, and you just live like that, and you'll be happier. And he said, reminds me, I got to call the house. So he called the house, and he phoned his, and it was over in the afternoon. He said, hi, dear. And his wife said, hi. And said, look, the plumber come, yep. To get the water heater installed, yep. He said, honey, how does it work? She said, well, dear, they did a good job, really. Very expensive, but they did an excellent job. He said, is the water hot? She said, yeah. Is it really hot? Yeah. He said, dear, I don't want to be facetious, but look, is that water really hot? She said, yes, honey, really is. That water is really hot. Okay, thank you. Hung up the phone. Turned to his mate, and he says, boy, he said, you know, he said, I want that water hot. He said, anything I hate to do when I get home at 5 o'clock is wash dishes in cold water. Rain, thank you. Appreciate that. I don't think it was all that good, but I appreciate it anyway. Yeah, you guard each other's time, you know. And a lot of times when friction comes in the family, you do just the opposite. You know, an old boy can figure, well, there's a little friction in the family. I think I'm taking most of the load anyway. Honey, would you mind doing so-and-so, sweetheart? You know, and just begin to lay it on her. Lay it on her, you know, jobs and chores. Nice and sweetheart, you know, use all them words, you know, but just lay it on her. And so it is with the dear wife, you know. She's got this list. And so he comes back, you know, there's the towel rack and you know, there's the stuff in the garage and there's that heavy thing that's got to go to the attic, you know, always that heavy thing. See, well, it could go to the attic some other time or it could stay out of the attic forever, really. You know, but down deep, we want to push people around. Well, you have to guard the time. Socially. One of the best things a young man can do when he marries is to present to his wife a bunch of tall, big, strong, short, ugly, godly fellas that God has used him to recruit. If a young man wants his wife to really respect him, as they go through those early days and weeks and months of their life, if he can say, honey, I'd like you to meet Jim. Jim said, Helen, I'm sorry I couldn't be at the wedding, but I was out of town. And so as Helen and Jim are chatting, he begins to tell Helen our relationship. You see? And this is the thing that makes a wife stand 9 foot tall. Is when a man can present to his wife other men in whose life he has had an influence. That holds families together. I've counseled so many young men, and they say, I just don't have enough time at home. And I say, well, what kind of time do you have when you are at home? You know, does she enjoy it, you see? Is it meaningful? And it isn't all that much time at home, and even what you do at home is what kind of guy are you when you're at home and when you're away from home. They asked Ruth Graham one time, doesn't it bother you for Billy to be away all the time and like he is? She said, a little bit of time with Billy Graham is worth a whole lot of time with anybody else. And this is the way we fellas should live our lives. That when we live and when we die, there'll be people saying, yeah, Ruby, old George led me to Christ, you know. And this makes her feel like life is meaningful. That's the social part of life. That really is. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. There's a book you might want to read sometime, fellas. I don't think you wives should read it. Do Yourself a Favor, Love Your Wife by Paige Williams. Paige is an old Presbyterian preacher over in Georgia. He's a good old boy type. And it's the logos on that is P full stop 204-8 ISBN 0 Well, I better give you that. Come up here later if you want that. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, the second part of this message, I want to share with you three things that's going to be a snare, or could be a snare, in anybody's life in their walk in Christ. If I was preaching this to military guys, I would call this title, Cars, Cuties, and Cash. If I was preaching it to university people, I would call it Girls, Gold, and Glory. And if I was preaching it in a Presbyterian church, I'd call it Pride, Processions, and Purity. But those are the three categories in which you and I are going to stumble if we're going to stumble. I really like to get things down narrow. And being simple like I am, I do. I get things down right narrow, see? It's appalling, and you know it's appalling, the problems that is now in the Christian realm of divorce. And a lot of the divorce is brought about by infidelity and adultery. And let me help you again. There's a lot of things in the Bible that are not clear. They really isn't clear. I read an article this week by the Methodist on why we sprinkle. And I'm telling you, they had a pretty good biblical background on why we sprinkle. They could debate you on that one. And I have read stuff on why we baptize by immersion. Well, I'm really not going to give my life to trying to prove sprinkling or immersion, because I don't think it's all that clear. Now, oh, wait, it is, John. Baptismal means all the way under. If you don't go all the way under, don't count. And that's what I was. I put all the way under, don't count, come up just as lost as a goose. It didn't count when I went under, because I wasn't saved. I wasn't following God. See? A lot of religions baptize all the way under. See? And there's other things. There's only three verses in the New Testament on tithing, two of them in a negative connotation. That ought to blow your fuse. Yeah. Well, why come these preachers always preach tithing? Well, I don't know, that's them. They preach it. I preach 90%. That's right. I let the preacher get the 10% out of you, and then I want to help you with the 90%, because if you don't get some help with the 90%, the church isn't going to function very well, and you're not going to function well either. See? And when you're saved all over, aren't you? You know, all of you saved? One old boy says he's our personal savior. You know, your personal is saved. Is your arm saved? You know? Is your eye saved? Sure, we're all saved. Everything's saved. My soul's saved and my body's saved. All of me belongs to the Lord, you see? So I preach 100% dedicated to the Lord. But there's one subject in the Bible that I believe I can find a verse or a passage to fit any possible sexual situation. I really believe that. Single girls, single men, married girls, single with married with single, son with mamas, mamas with sons, daughters with fathers, fathers with daughters. There's scripture in the Bible to cover the whole gamut of teaching how to act between men and women in any phase and any age. There's verses in there. There really is. All the way through the scripture. To me, that is not debatable. It's a matter of study. And I think we'll all come out with what it teaches on the subject. You see? And it's something that we should give ourselves to, and it's something that we should will ourselves to. Will. When I got married, I told my wife I loved her, and I told her that I would give myself to her. I'd already said this in a public ceremony. But I also told her that I would never have an encounter with another woman. I told her that. I told it out loud. I've told a lot of people that. So when temptation comes, not only do I want myself being tempted as an adulterer, I want myself being tempted as a big fat liar too. See, I want every gimmick I can get, you see. You know? I said it out loud. You know? Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:25 and 26. And again, if you have a trouble doing references, put the numbers down first and then the book. Proverbs 4:25 and 26. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The Bible teaches you, let your eyes look right on, guys. Let your eyelids look straight before you. And the Bible teaches that men should do that way, girls, women. And women can look attractive and very feminine and very wonderful and very godly without provoking basic reactions in men. They really can. Job 31:1, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? 1 Timothy 5:1 and 2 charged the old women as mothers and the younger women as sisters with all purity. Paul was teaching young Timothy how to act and treat the older women as mothers and the young women as sisters with all purity. Flip over to 1 Timothy 5:1 and 2 and I'll show you how the Holy Spirit of God is so very, very careful to teach us all we need to know all the time in the Scripture and how He puts things in. And if it wasn't the Holy Spirit inspired, I don't know how you could think of all these things, you see. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. See, now here's a relationship between a man and an elder, a young fellow and an elder, see. And the younger men as brothers, the elder women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters with all purity. Notice that he sticks that purity word in there with the sisters, with the young ladies. You see? He don't stick that purity bin in there with the moms and with the pas, but he puts it in there. Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that beautiful? The Holy Spirit of God, God knows, man. Jesus said the people didn't have to give him a lecture on men because he knew men in John chapter 2. You see? So we have to teach this. And we have to practice it. And we find that there's reasons for marriage, and when people have a particular problem in this realm, it's good to give them some counsel and to pray with them and try to help them get a wife, 1 Corinthians 7:2. And Helen and I have done that too, with all of our young people. We start praying right away with their helpmate or with their future helpmate, and we take a very positive approach and counsel with them individually. And in groups to try to help them on the right course, because we know that is a tremendous driving force in our lives is marriage and the helpmate routine. And one of the reasons it's rather base, Paul says, to get married is to avoid fornication. If you feel that you're so sexually put together, before you get into trouble, you better get some help and get your wife pretty quick there, mate. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2. I wouldn't let that word get out, because if the girl got a hold of it, well, she wouldn't feel all that good about it. But that's one of the reasons. You see, Genesis 2:18, it's not good for man to be alone. And 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. 18:22 in Proverbs, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Nineteen fourteen, houses and riches and the inheritance of fathers and a prudent wife is from the Lord. 1 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Timothy 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which wars against the soul. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Lest thou forget thee things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Lust wars against the soul. Keep your soul, because it's the soul that's a driving force to live for God and to share with other people. Exodus 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Be satisfied with your own situation. Remember in the message earlier, we said we love whom we choose to love. If you're married, you ask God to help you love that person. If you're not married, you pray about whom you should marry, if you should marry, and ask God. And when you get married, you decide to love, because you love whom you decide to love. And let's do all we can to keep it together. Let's go the second mile and the third mile and the fourth mile. Well, my time is up, and I got two more points, and I'll give them to you in future years. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this good time together. We pray that you'll help us to make application in Jesus' name. Amen.